We'll be taking our devotional tonight from the book of 1 Chronicles. We'll be looking specifically at chapter 21 and reading the first section together of this chapter. 1 Chronicles 21, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it.' And Joab answered, 'May the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But, my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel?' Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore Joab departed and went throughout all Israel, and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people to David. All Israel had 1,101,000 men who drew the sword, and Judah had 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore he struck Israel. So David said to God, 'I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now, I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly.' Then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, 'Go and tell David, saying, Thus says the Lord, I offer you 3 things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you.' So Gad came to David and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me.' And David said to Gad, 'I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of man.' So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster that he said to the angel who was destroying, 'It is enough. Now restrain your hand.' And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And then David lifted his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between the earth and heaven, having in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. So David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, 'Was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? I am the one who has sinned and done this evil indeed. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, O Lord, be against me and against my father's house, but not against your people, that they should be plagued.' Therefore the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." And it tells us then that that's exactly what David did, and the plague was eventually withdrawn. In this section of Scripture, there are some things that we read that are good lessons for us, and it's good to consider some questions that may arise from this as well. Of course, we know that this is well on in David's reign. He is a very mature man. He's a man who's walked with God. He's a man that has great strengths, but he's also a man who in his weaknesses has failed to do God's will at times in his lives. And we know that what happens here is something that is attributed to the work of Satan. It's interesting to compare what you read here to the parallel account in 2 Samuel chapter 24. That chapter begins with these words: "Again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, 'Go number Israel and Judah.'" Do you see the difference? There's 2 different statements that are made. In what we just read, it says that the Lord had moved David. It says he moved David against them to say, "Go number Israel and Judah." And then we read back in 1 Chronicles 21 that Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. There are times when God allows Satan to do things that serve a cause that God has in mind, a testing perhaps, or a means by which God will then bring judgment upon his people for sins that they are guilty of. In this case, what you see here with what God allows in 2 Samuel is in fact what Satan himself directly does. How does he specifically move David? That's not revealed to us. But somehow the influence is there, and David, through his own choice, but through some means of Satan's influence, makes the decision to do something that is in violation of God's will. It's displeasing to God. God, as you'll notice when we read through, that God is not pleased with the thing that happens here that David does. But then you see that after the numbering takes place, or even before it happens, there is an understanding by others, Joab is specifically mentioned, that this is not something that should be done at all. And Joab says, may God bless the people to grow in great numbers. And in fact, everybody who's here is already your servant. But why would you do such a thing? And he makes no headway with David. David is intent on going ahead and numbering the people. And the result is that God is displeased with this thing, and therefore he struck Israel. And this already in our minds seems like, well, why would God do that? David is the one. And then from David's own mouth, we see that very statement. Verse 17, was it not I who commanded the people to be numbered? What have they done, he says, your sheep? Let it be against me and my father's house, your hand, but not against your people, that they should be plagued. So David himself seems to think that all that is happening to the people is solely because of what he did, when in actuality, what we know is there is something else involved. And Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 24 that we read from, gives us a clue again in regard to what was happening. Because when you look at that very first verse, notice, again, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. So here is something that is taking place, Satan having a hand in it, God allowing it, but something that the people have done has stirred the wrath of God against them. There was an earlier episode that brought about a famine because God's people had departed from him. And here is something else, not specifically named, that also has stirred up God's wrath. It may be something tied to what we see even in David, because why would David do this? And there have been a lot of speculation because it hasn't, and it isn't specifically named what David did or why he did. His motive specifically is not laid out. However, there's some things that seem to indicate, for example, when David simply makes the request, he says, go number that, then verse 2, that I may know. He wants to know specifically the number of the people. And he will not be persuaded to just understand that all of these people are his servants. That's good enough. God has blessed you with these servants, these people of yours that you rule over. And he gives then, finally, Joab comes back with the number. And David, acknowledging his sin, is then told by God, you choose what your judgment is. But it may have been a case where, and this would certainly be something that would stir God's wrath, where David is interested in knowing how many people do we have, because he's starting to believe in and trust in the might of his people. How many people do we have? You know, how many? Because numbers have always mattered to people. Numbers have always been significant to people. You know, how many do we have? What's our number? What's our strength? And this David wants to know as well. And if it be the case that the people also have this same kind of mindset, that they have stopped trusting in the Lord, there may be other sin involved as well, but it is something that stirs the wrath of God. But here's one thing to always remember. God never punishes the innocent. And you could certainly say, among the 70,000 that perished, you would not have a single one of them that would have had the heart of the remnant, that is, the heart of the few, typically in the nation, that was genuinely walking with God. None of them would have been among the number to perish from the wrath of God that then was poured out when David chose the plague. And he chose the plague because he said, the Lord is very merciful. Maybe the best alternative he's thinking is to have the judgment that will allow me to be most close to the merciful hand of God. So let God's hand bring this plague upon us. And indeed, when God relented, he did show his mercy. David made the offering. It was sacrificed. And in fact, God spared the remainder of the people. But in it, we see a lesson in regard to clinging close to God and his word and doing only what God has authorized. David certainly didn't observe that, but also, of course, to have a full confidence and reliance upon God in all that we do and all that we put our hand to. We're going to have tremendous works that we have to do as God's people, congregationally, individually. There are things that may even challenge our faith. Do we dare? Do we have courage to do this? But what are we trusting in? Are we trusting in our own ability? Are we trusting in something other than the one who has told us, I will not leave you nor forsake you? The one who said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, our trust and faith must always be in God and the word that he has given, the promises that he has made, knowing that he will most surely be with and deliver us. And that when we sin, our sins most certainly do not fail to be seen or observed by God. He sees all things. In this case, these people were guilty of something God knew. It was serious, so serious, in fact, that it brought tremendous judgment from God against this people. And peoples, nations have suffered the hand of God, from the hand of God, the judgment of God, because of various types of sin. His own people, and when you see the prophet speaking, like Isaiah and numerous passages in that book, he speaks to the burden of the word of the Lord too, and numerous nations heard from him in regard to their transgressions. And then finally, judgment came when penitence was not forthcoming. So as the nation of Israel today, a spiritual people, we must always be ready and willing and be actively involved in self-examination. Where do we stand before our God? When we think about ourselves as a nation, in terms of our country, self-examination is also important. Where do we stand before God? May our own lives as Christian people be close to God and his word so that we might always exalt him in all that we do and not incur his wrath, but rather his mercy and his favor. Tonight, if you're not a child of God, you can turn in faith to him and be received. When you obey the commands given that bring you into that covenant relationship, faith, repentance, confession, finally baptism, sins washed away by Jesus' blood, a new life and relationship begin in Christ, a child of God, heirs of wonderful promises. If you've wandered from that place of safety and security and you need to come home, it's his invitation you can respond to as we stand and sing.